Sure, you see news everywhere. But if you want to know if it's true, 1010 Wins is who you trust. All news, all the time. Now at 92.3 FM.
Monday fun day, baby. I'm ready to go. It's been a week since I've done one of these. A 5 hour KM to AM on the fan. Call me up. There's plenty to talk about. There's plenty to go over. I mean, last week I wish I had a 5 hour show on Wednesday or Thursday or Friday. Whether you think today is the first day of spring or the last day of winter, whatever. In 10 days, we're back in Yankee Stadium. Opening day is next week. I repeat, in 10 days, I will see you in the X. We're going to start playing baseball for real. Dress it up and make it real for me. Balling like the March Madness. I'm definitely not balling after this weekend. I absolutely took a bath with my bets. Don't chase your losses like me. Last night broke me. TCU, I'm done. I quit. But it's a small price to pay for 4 straight days of college hoops and legal sports betting on your couch. I remember times where it wasn't this easy to put this many bets in. And it reminded me of when I was younger, making mistakes gambling illegally, that March Madness comes with March Sadness. There's a couple bets, I'll go over them later, that just broke me. I'm done, I deleted the app. But I'm still watching the games, I'm from Jersey. And if you're from New Jersey, tournament time makes the Garden State proud. You know, the tournament itself always lives up to the hype, right? There's always upsets, but especially from these gritty kids from New Jersey. Purdue hates New Jersey. Fairleigh Dickinson, that's the only bet I won. When I came in, I think Thursday night, the first night of the tournament, I just put 5 on Fairleigh Dickinson to win and 5 on them to win by 1-10. I think I ended up cashing like 230. That was really my only win of the weekend. And man, those kids did it. And if you know that story, they're not supposed to be there. They weren't even supposed to be there. Whatever. They made the most of it. And that is the greatest upset in the history of the tournament. Not too bad for the Tigers, the kids from Princeton. I was listening to Craig Carton talk about the Ivy League kids and all that stuff. Whatever with all that. Princeton is in New Jersey. And those kids won 2 games. They're in the Sweet 16. We'll talk about it. I mean, there was a lot of good games. And I don't know if you listened to me before the tournament started. I said to look at who's coaching these teams. Coaching matters. Some familiar coaches back in the same spots. And now, a very familiar coach with March Madness in the Final Four, Rick Pitino. He's going to coach St. John's for 6 years. He's 70. I mean, I thought by, time tonight it might be done. They announced that earlier today. Signed, sealed, delivered for the most part. At 70 years old, a 6-year deal, all I think about with St. John's is like, that's great to get the name, but over the next 5 to 6 years, they have to do more. They have to change the campus. They have to change everything for these players, right? With NIL, name, image, likeness, and the transfer portal, of course, Ricky Pitino is going to be able to get some talent and some players there, but they got to be able to compete with Syracuse. They got to be able to compete with Villanova and some of these other schools that just have top flight amenities and things for these kids. It's a huge competition, but congrats to St. John's fans listening. You've got your guy. Other than that, I'm trying to get MLB Network on in here. Axe said it was channel 31. Paulie said it was channel 37. Okay, it's on FS1 tonight. So, I mean, I'll never learn the channels in here, honestly. But you should be watching the World Baseball Classic. This thing built up, right? And I know it's not the United States tonight. It's Japan versus Mexico, but there's a ton of Major League players competing at the highest level. And when I say the World Baseball Classic built up, there's no such publicity as bad publicity, right? If it bleeds, it leads. These injuries help people talk about it. So obviously the Edwin Diaz thing happened Wednesday night. I was completely off. So I laid in bed and watched that game. And they changed the channel to the United States game, but then I checked Twitter. And I'm telling you, I was like, no way is this real life. This guy looked like he didn't even care about closing that game. He didn't want to celebrate. Next thing you know, he's on the ground. They're calling over for the trainer. His brother's crying. They try to pick him up. He tries to walk on his own. He can't go. I'm like, oh, this is terrible. This is terrible. And then I checked Twitter, and Twitter was worse. It got super toxic. I stood down. The next day, I tried to jump on the Elon Musk machine, and you know, you couldn't say anything about it. People were so upset about it. And no matter how you feel about it, what I will say again is there's no such publicity as bad publicity. It drew more attention to it. People talking about it helped draw more eyes to it. On the first day of March Madness, people were talking about baseball. They wouldn't have been talking about Port St. Lucie or anything going on in Arizona. They were talking about the World Baseball Classic. Emphasis on the world. I think Americans kind of did a terrible job of talking about this tournament. And when you see the rest of the world and how they respond to it, when you see countries like Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic, which that game versus those two teams was an all-star game. And that was the first game that I really watched from start to finish. And now I've been locked in on the World Baseball Classic, and I got my eyes on it tonight. We'll talk more about that. I mean, Diaz goes down Wednesday, and then obviously you know what Brandon Nimmo had to say about him not being in the tournament, which is whatever. He wasn't going to start over Mike Trout in center field, but he said he got hurt in the last one, and he was focused on the Mets for this one. And then he even spoke after. He had like a little smirk, and obviously he's not smiling. Nobody's happy about an injury. It's bad for everyone. But it was like, oh no, did karma hit Brandon Nimmo when he slides in the second? I see that on Friday, and I'm like, no way. He ended up being all right. I think he's going to be able to go on opening day. But Altuve got hurt. He's not going to be ready to go. He wore a pitch. He's got to get surgery on his thumb. So Astros fans are hurt about that whole situation. Arenado took a pitch to his hand last night. What I'll say about it is these guys understand that this comes with the risk of getting hurt. It's competition at the highest level. They step out there on the field knowing that they could get hit by a pitch, knowing that they could sprain an ankle, they could tear an MCL, whatever. They've accepted that risk. And all we've gotten is quotes from these guys about what it's like playing in the World Baseball Classic. Right now I'm watching Randy Arozarena. He's leading off for Mexico. He made a ridiculous catch in the Puerto Rico, or in the game, not Puerto Rico. The game, I can't remember who Mexico was playing now, two games before this. He said that was better than the home run I hit in the World Series. That catch was the best. And then you got all these other players doubling down on what it meant to them. Trey Turner is now being called Captain America for his Grand Slam. He said, I think individually, that's probably the biggest hit I've had in his life. This guy's won the World Series. And on and on and on. But other than that, folks, Knicks are on tonight. They will not have Ant-Man Anthony Edwards on the other side for the Timberwolves. Knicks are like 10-point favorites. They should roll them tonight in the Garden. And we're not going to talk too much puck, but the Rangers are rolling. And the Devils finally get one from the Lightning. It felt like we were playing the Lightning every single day, but the Devils end their three-game losing streak and dominate the Lightning last night. Jesper Bratrick turning heads. And hockey fans, we'll definitely talk puck tomorrow or the rest of the week, but maybe not tonight. If you want, call up. I just try to mix in a little bit of hockey talk. What else did I have? March Madness, Fairleigh Dickinson, and Rick Pitino, Princeton, World Baseball Classic. I think those are the main talking points. We do not have to talk about the quarterback that's supposed to be coming from Green Bay to New York. Finally, this is a week where you don't even have to speak of that man's name. That's another reason why I wanted to get on last week. I'm like, okay, we get the answer from this guy on Pat McAfee. And I didn't really even touch the mic. I didn't really have much of a show. But other than that, Roy White, Yankees legend, two-time World Series winner, will join me at 8. We're going to talk a little Yankees baseball tonight for sure. The topic of Anthony Volpe and Aaron Hicks and Jason Dominguez and Josh Donaldson and what these Yankees are going to look like on opening day. We can talk all around it. I'll tell you straight up, Anthony Volpe deserves to make this roster, but I don't believe he makes this roster. What I believe is when this team struggles, he will be that spark. He will be the first young man called up to give them an extra push. right? All of a sudden, it gets warm out here, and the Yankees lose a couple series, and you press the Volpe button, and it's Volpe Day, and the Anthony Volpe era starts in the Bronx. I'm all here for it. I don't think that they're going to start the clock on him. I think they're going to see what he does at AAA. They obviously saw what he did in spring, and I know they painted it like, hey, this is a competition, but ultimately they're not going to start the clock on that young man. Knicks and Nets, I haven't mentioned the Nets. Unfortunately, man, the Nets are going the wrong way, and it's tough right now. There's not that many games left, and when you look at the Knicks' schedule, the Knicks should be good the rest of the way. The Nets might be in a little bit of trouble. They lost yesterday to the Nuggets, which for me as a Nets fan, I knew that the Nuggets were not going to lose that game after the Nets were able to steal a game in Denver. And that's the thing about the Nets. They stole a overtime game against the Timberwolves right before that. They stole that game in Denver. And ever since then, they've kind of gone back downhill. They've lost the last three games in a row. And this is a team that is only one game up from being in the play-in. They're going to have to fight the rest of the way. We'll see what happens, Nets fans. Obviously, you knew this season was cooked as soon as we got to the trade deadline, but we'll take what we can get, right? We'll see what these guys can do and what they can put together. The bar isn't set that high from last year. If they escape the play-in, they've done better than KD and Kyrie's final full season as Brooklyn Nets. They win one playoff game, and they've done better than KD, Kyrie being swept by the Celtics last year. So plenty to talk about. Plenty to go around, and I will mix in little stories, little thoughts, and little takes here and there. Some from last week, some from today. I feel like I haven't been on in a while, so looking forward to talking to you. 877-337-6666. Keep McPherson on the Fan right back after this.
Go for it. Call the Fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get right into it. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I feel like it's been a while. Let's see if I still know how to do this. 877-337-6666 and two more sixes. Let's get right to the phones. Once again, Roy White will join me at 8. And I feel like I haven't talked to anybody in a while. Shout out to my guy EJ, who's out in the newsroom. EJ let me be a part of his show for about the first hour because with March Madness, my show pretty much got erased Thursday night. And I think I came on, I gave my thoughts on Edwin Diaz's injury, but then I was like, yo, I should probably do some more. I work here. I'm not trying to go home yet. I got to put my time in, and I barely got a thought out. So that was interesting. Here we go, 5 hours. And I'd like to connect with you. I'd like to share my thoughts, opinions, get your thoughts and takes, and off and away we go. Leading off, Josh in the Bronx. It's awesome, baby. What's up, Josh?
I'm telling you, Keith, man, it's been a while. But anyway, oh, man, I don't know where to start, man, so I'm just going to say thank you for getting Roy White. That was a surprise. And having you on, you know, oh, I heard that Thursday. 3:30 in the morning or something like that?
Yeah, we were on really.
I couldn't sleep. I was just, you know, that was awesome, man. So anyway, when you have your time off and everything, good, all right, good for you. But, you know, that's what it builds up to have these five-hour schmoozes, you know. Mm-hmm. I just want to hear what anybody's got to say. Oh, and is today Mike Francesa's birthday because it was on Twitter or something? Well, his gift is Rick Pitino. Thank you for taking my call, and have a great show, sir.
Awesome, baby. Great call. Josh from the Bronx has the Dickie V voice, and it's March, so that goes together. And yes, March 20th, 19, I'm not going to even tell you the date. Happy birthday to the GOAT, Mike Francesa. And hopefully he's feeling well and all of that good stuff. Paulie, can you get Mike on the phone when you get a chance? Thanks, bro. Appreciate it. Young Josh in Passaic on the Fan. Hello, Josh.
Hey, Keith. How you doing? Welcome back.
I'm good. Thanks for calling.
As of course, with the Edwin Diaz, right? You haven't really had, like, a full show since then. I mean, it was just, like, shocked because, like, not just, like, the obviously he came into the game, like, you knew the game was over. It was something like you could look forward into a game, right, getting the trumpets, everybody, like, taking it out of their pockets. like became like a whole thing, and now we're not gonna have it for the rest of the year, pretty much.
Yeah, it's unfortunate, bro. They played the trumpets in Miami. He came out, he did his thing, and they changed the channel. They switched to I think United States Columbia. And I checked Twitter, and I see that video, and it was so eerie. I'm like, there's no way. There's no way. I'm checking all different types of it, and I'm like, yeah, it actually happened. It sucks. It sucks for Mets fans. It sucks for baseball fans. It sucks for Team Puerto Rico. They're eliminated now. You saw his brother come out to his music and try and do his best impression of him. It didn't really go that great. But what I'll say about Edwin Diaz, man, that contract, there's some insurance on it. MLB is taking care of it. And for Mets fans, someone else will rise. That was my whole message when I came on at 1:35 in the morning on Thursday, or Friday morning, I think it actually was. You know, I mentioned Mariano Rivera, which you've heard Evan mention a few times. I mentioned David Robertson and maybe Zach Britton, some crosstown crossover, some Yankees that could help out. I also mentioned that, hey, nobody knew what he was going to do this year. There's no guarantee he was going to repeat what he did last year. It sucks for the guy, but he's in good spirits. Prayers up for him. We hope that he makes a full recovery. I think they're leaving a little window of opportunity for him to maybe return in October. But I think the moral of the story here is that, you know, you could get hurt anywhere. These guys enter this tournament knowing that there's risk. They know they could get hurt. And I understand people are upset. Like I said, I stood down on Twitter because I realized it was hot. It was toxic. People were looking for anyone to be mad at, point a finger at, and blame. It's a freak accident, a fluke. And it sucks that you lose your closer, but he's a closer. He's not an everyday player, and he's not even guaranteed an opportunity in every game. Someone else will rise. The season did not end with Edwin Diaz's season ending in the World Baseball Classic.
And not so we're ready down a pitcher, but with all these like prospects are seeing the spring training, and like the fact that almost none of them actually going to be at the regular season, maybe we'd smart to like trade one too, other than unless they're just saving it up for Otani.
Yeah, we'll never know what these guys like Billy Epler and Brian Cashman are up to and what they're thinking until they do it. But it's funny. It's like a mirror, right? Crosstown crossover again. Mets versus Yankees. Both sides have injuries. Both sides have young prospects that look like they're ready to play and ready to contribute, and we don't know exactly where they fit in this puzzle. We just got to wait and see. But the biggest thing for me with all of this is I put this on Twitter and I retracted it. I don't think we're going to touch the money as much this year. And I'm kind of optimistic for October with less of the hype. Like, let the hype die down. Instead of everybody saying Mets and Yankees, World Series, the Fall Classic is going to be a Subway Series. How about we take this day by day, series by series, week by week, month to month, and get to October when it matters. It doesn't matter right now, right? Like, let's get there, and then we'll talk about it. It's a long road.
And not so with Nimmo going down, but how about that one for the Devils? I was like, right, great. You went down, like, a goal to start the game. It was, like, looking like the other two Lightning. He's already blown that Panthers game. It was kind of looking a little bit like December, but if this win, hopefully, could get them back on their feet, maybe catch a Hurricane to still have a few games on hand at them. Hopefully, the Rangers could beat them twice.
Hopefully, the Rangers could beat the Devils twice?
The Hurricanes are playing the Rangers next game.
I got to look at the Rangers schedule. I said they're rolling. I'm like, I thought you were a Devils fan. You are a Devils fan. What I'll say about that game last night, because I was watching March Madness, I was watching World Baseball Classic and had an eye on that, they got off the mat. Right? That's the Devils fighting. That's them getting off the mat and saying, all right, we're not going out like this. This team just beat us twice in Newark. We're down in Tampa. We're going to take this one. We have a 3-game losing streak. Jesper Bratt said, nah, I'm not going for it. Like, let's stand up and fight. We're one of the best teams in the league. And this is a team that has been to the Stanley Cup, and we need to prove something tonight. We can't lose 3 in a row to them, lose 4 in a row on this losing streak. And I was fired up to see the Devils get off the mat last night. Definitely. We'll see what the Rangers do with the Hurricanes here. They got one game tomorrow in the Garden and then another one down in North Carolina. And we're getting down to the end of the season, and the NHL and the NBA, we're going to figure out the playoff seeding real soon.
And hopefully the Devils will keep on rolling. All right, keep having a good night.
Thanks for the call, Josh. See, we got some puck talk in. 877-337-6666. If you'd like to talk Rangers or Devils, throw it out there. You know, we're getting there. It's the most wonderful time. We're getting there to find out about the Stanley Cup playoffs, who is who and what is what, and where the chips will fall. Let the chips fall where they may. I'm trying to get these calls in before I bring in my guest. I've only got one guest tonight, and I thought about getting some other guests. Maybe I'll have some more on Wednesday. But after not being on for so many days, I feel like I have, you know, tons of notes and takes and things that I'd like to say, and I'd like to keep it rolling. Let's talk to Tommy in New Hyde Park. What's up, Tommy?
How you doing, Keith?
I'm great. In here watching the World Baseball Classic. I'm rooting for Japan. I think I'd rather see Shohei and those guys in the final.
Well, I'm not watching that. But I will watch when the USA plays. My question is to you. I love your dialogue, by the way. Who is replacing Nimmo? What are they going to do with that?
I don't know if I think Nimmo, didn't they say Nimmo should be ready potentially to go? If they do have to shut him down, we'll see. But I don't know. I would hold out hope that with 2 weeks, not 2 weeks now, it's 10 days. You know, if he ices up a little bit, then maybe he'll be ready to go. But I don't have the answer for who's going to be in center field. I know that they don't have as many outfielders for the Mets. And I know there's, you know, some guys that have turned heads, DJ Stewart. And there's some options. But if they lost Nimmo, right, like Nimmo is a huge blow. That's right. Your leadoff hitter. That's a guy that gets on base. He's an energy guy. Just, you know, what he brings. Like, he's a big contract. I'm not sure. I haven't even thought about who would be in center field. Would they move? They'd probably move McNeil to the outfield. And then, I don't know. I don't have that answer off the top of my head. I think he's going to be ready to go. I think what we saw just was heightened. Like, I think all of our emotions were heightened because we know what he had to say, and we, you know, had the Edwin Diaz injury, and then like half the Mets fan base was saying, we're cursed, we're doomed, Mets are gonna Met, you can't get away from it. And it seemed like Nimmo like tore his ACL on that slide, but he has a low grade sprain that I think if he ices up, he'll be ready to go.
Thank God. I was just curious about that. But another question. With Diaz out, I don't think Robinson is the answer at all. He's been around so long. What are we going to do about this closing thing?
I would trust Buck Showalter. You know, I think Showalter is going to have a plan. I think a lot of teams you see, like the Yankees, are planning on going closer by committee and just, you know, going game by game and seeing what part of the order they're in, who they want to, you know, roll out there. It sucks not to have Edwin Diaz, who seemed as lights out as anyone, but I don't know. I don't think it's David Robertson, though. David Robertson is cooked. He was out of the league for a little bit. I don't think you can just say he's the closer. He can close. He could definitely close. He closed a World Series game. But I wouldn't just slide him into that spot and say, okay, here's our everyday closer.
Yeah. All right. I have one more question, if you don't mind.
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks. I bet the Knicks tonight, and I bet the under 226, and I gave up the 9 points. What do you think? I did a parlay.
You're taking them to cover the 9?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think, the only thing that scares me about that is the Garden, right? Like, sometimes in the Garden, they don't show up. Sometimes crazy things happen in the Garden where other guys rise. Like, look out for Naz Reid. He's from Asbury Park, New Jersey. He's going to be ready to play in the Garden. Like, I don't know. I don't think they're going to be able to beat the Knicks because the Knicks just have a better team. But the Knicks should be able to win by 10. You said you took the under?
I took the under, 226.5.
I don't know. I you don't want any betting advice from me?
No, I'm just curious.
I just deleted the app.
I don't care. I just
deleted the app. I don't even know which way to go on that. Good luck to you.
Keith, I bet $30 just for fun.
Yeah, just to make the game a little bit more exciting. It will be.
Always a pleasure talking to you. Have a great night.
Thanks for the call, Tommy. Speaking of Tommy, Tommy Pham is in center field right now for the Mets. And I know Tommy Pham hasn't had the most impressive spring training. I think he had a highlight that I saw earlier today. He could be an option. More crosstown crossover. Tim LeCastro, former Yankee, homered the other day. He's turning heads. He could be an option in the outfield for the Mets. So I think if Nimmo ends up not, I think Nimmo's going to be ready to go. This is a guy that literally said his focus is the Mets and that he didn't want to go to the World Baseball Classic because he got hurt in the last one, like tweaked his hamstring. I think he's going to ice up. He's going to do what he's got to do to be ready to go on opening day next Thursday. And maybe he won't be 100%, but I think they're going to try and roll with Nimmo. And until they rule him completely out, I would keep hope alive that Nimmo is the guy. Now, with the Knicks tonight, the Knicks should be able to handle the Timberwolves. I just mentioned before that the Nets beat them in overtime. And the Timberwolves are kind of, you know, trending in the wrong way, especially without Anthony Edwards. If you don't have your best player, then you should not be able to go beat the New York Knicks, who might be as high as a 4 seed in these upcoming playoffs. The Timberwolves have lost 3 games in a row, and they beat the Hawks, but before that, they lost to the Sixers, lost to the Nets, got a win against the Hawks. They lost to the Celtics, the Bulls, the Raptors. They're trending in the wrong way late in the season, and I think the Knicks should win tonight. And the Knicks, like, the Knicks can't let this be like the Hornets game, which Brunson wasn't in that game. And I think that's the key to everything. With Brunson on the floor, he is the safety blanket. He'll make sure every possession is good. He'll make sure that you're not going too far in the wrong way. If you need a bucket, he's going to go manufacture a bucket. So I think the Knicks will be fine. Eyes on that game starting right now, coming up in the next couple minutes. Let's see if I can get another call in right here. Richard in Manhattan. Hello.
Hi, Keith. Keith, if the Knicks finish with the same record or better as Sacramento, I would think you'd have to give Coach of the Year to Tom Thibodeau over Mike Brown. What do you think?
Nah, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I don't think that they're going to do that. Because
if they don't do it, no, then that's going
to
be Mike Brown.
But you know what? We absolutely need to speak higher of Coach Tibbs. We absolutely got to give this guy respect. I feel like he's the last guy to get respect. They'll talk about Brunson,
sure.
Randall, Hart. They'll even give credit to Hartenstein or, you know, McBride before they actually say that this guy was on the hot seat.
Right.
Fans wanted him out of here. They wanted him gone. They were sure it was going to happen. And now things turn around. You got to put respect on that man's name.
Hey, isn't it funny how the NCAA tournament, the winner never has a dominant NBA player?
I loved watching basketball this weekend. That's why I said, like, I don't care about the money that I lost betting, because I was actually locked in watching all of these games. These kids play defense. These kids care. They're fighting for the name on the front of the jersey. Some of them don't even have a name on the back of the jersey. It is different. Like, it is not like the NBA at all, where all we do is talk about how it's a star-driven league.
Correct.
Player empowerment. You can't win without 2 superstars. No, these kids feel like they can win. And it doesn't matter if they go to school at Fairleigh Dickinson University or, you know, whether they're at Kentucky. It's like, you know, and Kentucky keeps failing. I was talking to my wife about it. I'm like, just think about, like, how the kids at Purdue get treated on a daily, weekly, monthly, yearly basis versus the kids at FDU. And then when they step on the floor, they're equalized.
That's right. They're only, you know, it's amazing. A school like North Carolina could have the, they were within 1/2 of winning the championship last year. They had a 15-point lead at halftime. And the following year, they're not even in the tournament. That's how, it's unbelievable.
Yeah,
how
some of the same players, the 2 stars of the team last year,
yeah,
still on the team. It doesn't matter. It's a different year, different team. Yep.
One last thing, Keith. Roy White, what a great Yankee. Now, I remember he came from the Dodgers, and I believe it was 65. So he came right after the heyday. But he was there for the turnaround. If I'm correct, I think he batted cleanup in 76 on that team when Mickey Rivers and Willie Randolph got there. Reggie wasn't there yet. And he stayed a Yankee till the end. I don't think he went to another team.
Nope. Played his whole career with the Yanks. He's a great guy. I got to meet
him. Wasn't he with the Dodger organization?
I don't know. If he might have been with their organization AAA. Because the whole thing about him is that he played his whole career for the Yankees.
He never left after the Yankees. He never went anywhere else. He retired as a Yankee. He was a great Yankee, and he was there. Oh, I loved him. I loved him in left field. He was solid, and I remembered him in the seventh. My favorite Yankee team, Keith, in 60 years of watching the New York Yankees from 1962, my favorite Yankee team was that 76 team when they came out of nowhere. they came out of nowhere. Roy White batted third, Munson cleanup, Shambliss fifth, and Nettles sixth. Mickey and Willie were first and second in the lineup. That team had no power, but yet they produced runs.
Mm-hmm.
Willie and Mickey were stealing Roy White. I think he had 90 RBIs. He was great. That was my favorite Yankee team.
Good.
Of course, we lost to the Reds in four straight. But Roy White was a great, true Yankee. Every bit as much as Mattingly or Catfish Hunter or Paul O'Neill. All those guys get more credit than Roy White. But in my book, Roy White was one of the true Yankees. And listen, when you talk to him, please mention Joe Pepitone's name. Because Joe Pepitone and Roy White batting together, even though it was dark times for the Yankees in 65, 66, 67, they were really good lights on those Yankee teams. Keith, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Richard, thank you. And for people listening, yeah. Obviously, Roy White and those 70s Yankees are before my time, but through WFAN and, my Yankees stuff, I've just been able to connect with a lot of these guys. I hope Roy is listening. I said I didn't want any guests because there's a lot to go over, but I had the opportunity to get Roy on the show tonight, and we lined that up. He'll join us at 8 o'clock. Let's take a break here, and then we'll come back. We'll get a couple calls in, and then we'll take that break at the top of the hour. We'll go get Roy. We'll talk about him, what he's up to, and then after that, we'll talk a little Yankees baseball, some Mets baseball, World Baseball Classic, and we'll keep things rolling. It's Monday Fun Day, a Monday night on The Fan. Keith McPherson, your nighttime host, back in the saddle. Let's get it. I'll be right back.
Baseline underneath, bank shot. No, Ewing slams in the follow. And the Knicks go up by one with 26 seconds remaining.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The buzzer sounds, and the New York Knickerbockers are going back to the NBA Finals.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey.
Right back at it on The Fan. A couple minutes here before we bring in Roy White. Keith McPherson talking sports. That's what we do here, right? I mean, and other things. I was listening to Carton and Roberts, and they were talking so much about parenting and different things. Like, what age to show your kids Scarface? I think I might have seen that too young. But my son will probably watch Scarface by the time he's 10. I think by the time you're 10 is a good time. That's a good one. That's a classic. Anyway, I would give you the number and tell you to call, but I've got a full rack of calls. Let's try and clear them before we bring in my guest. Let's go to Michael in Belleville on The Fan.
Hey, how you doing there, Keith?
Good, man. Thanks for calling.
Long time listener, first time caller. Two topics. I just want to mention the World Baseball Classic. I appreciate what they're doing. They're trying to spread the influence around the world to get other people interested in baseball. But in my mind, the nations that really love baseball, like then the Caribbean and South America and Japan, they're already interested, and we already have the Olympics. So it would be a service to the people that are, you know, paying large salaries to these players if maybe they could move it to November and kind of do it like a Pro Bowl in football, where the best players get nominated to play on the teams and something like that. And I understand the pride and all, but there are injuries involved, which there are in also in the spring training. But that's just my thought. My second thing is, I am loving what Princeton, that they're a good luck story, and I'm old enough, I'm 64, I remember Bill Bradley when he went to the Final Four. So if there's any way, I'm saying a couple of prayers, if they could make it there again, I'm sure Bill Bradley would be in attendance, and I'll turn it over to you. That's my thoughts.
Thank you for the call, Michael. So when I was on late, and EJ was nice enough to let me sit in and be a guest and converse about the World Baseball Classic, I don't know, 2 to 3 a.m. on Friday morning, the first thing I said to EJ was, okay, you know, everyone's got problems. How about we come up with a solution? You've got a problem with the World Baseball Classic. What is the solution? Moving it. And when we talked about moving it, it's every 3 years, and obviously it wasn't every 3 years because we had the pandemic. So that added some more time. Moving it to November, to me, does not work, in my opinion. There's obviously the World Series. There's obviously the postseason. And after these guys play for 8 months, I don't know if they're so inclined. Like, okay, if you're playing for 8 months and then you stop for a month, which you just have to, I guess, keep training for a month and then go play. Like, I honestly have no problem with it being during spring training. I think that's the right time. The only time I suggested potentially moving it was down the line in the future when I believe they're going to do away with 162 games. I think we're going to end up having like 147 games or, you know, some number like that where the math can still percentage-wise be the same as 162. I think there's a future where we see them move the World Baseball Classic into the season. But the whole thing is it's supposed to be this World Baseball Festival. It's supposed to be this kickoff to our baseball season that features all of these players from Major League Baseball and some of these players that aren't in Major League Baseball coming together to celebrate baseball across the world and compete at the highest level. I just think it's fine where it is. And, you know, guys have come out and said, hey, Mookie Betts and Mike Trout were laughing about it, saying, I'd rather be doing this than taking, you know, 4 at-bats on the backfield in spring training. These guys said this is the most fun they've ever had playing baseball. They want to be in this. And I think after this year, you're going to see more guys do it. I think there are obviously teams like right here, the New York Yankees, who use caution. And, you know, a guy like Luis Severino does not get to go and represent DR. And Nestor Cortez does not get to go and represent the United States. But these guys said, you know, all the best players should be in it. I'm sure these guys feel like Aaron Judge should be on Team USA. And, you know, last night watching Adam Wainwright and, like, we got to watch Merrill Kelly in the championship. There should be some better pitchers. Like, Gerrit Cole should probably be pitching for Team USA. There's definitely some better guys. Like, you know, I know Verlander's up there in age, but there's a lot of guys that could be there helping Team USA. They've got hitters. They don't have enough pitchers. In my opinion, I don't think they ever move it to after the season because when the season's done, the season's done. And then you have the NFL. Then you have NHL, NBA kicking off. It's placed at a time where it's really only competing with March Madness. And like I said, with all the publicity that the injuries got, it rivaled March Madness as far as conversation online. And I know online is not real life, but the viewership is up. I'll pull up some numbers later to show you how many people are going to these games and how many people are watching these games. I think it's bigger than people in America really want to like give it credit for being. Dominic in East Rochester, New York on the Fan again. Hello, Dom.
Hello, buddy. You know, every night it's something with McPherson. Last week it was, I don't know him from a can of paint. tonight it was KM to the AM.
I got some catchphrases. Some I created, some I didn't. I don't know. I just say things. This mic is live.
Hey, listen, Richard took some. I don't usually call this early because I like to see where your show's going. And then when you fall off the track, I'd like to call and put you back on the track. Okay, you know. But tonight I had to call because I don't expect you remember. But I called you a couple months ago, and my whole speech was about a guy named Roy White.
Mm-hmm.
And my take was that the Yankees had done, and I know you probably can't go there with him tonight, but they have not acknowledged him at all. And as Richard was saying, Keith, this guy was a ball player with a capital B. I'm trying to compare him to somebody you would know. On the core four, it's core five Yankees. But the best I could come up with was Paul O'Neill.
Mm-hmm.
This guy, Roy White, did everything right. Everything, including the way he handled himself. Keith, was a ball player. I don't know what else to say. He could field. He could hit. he was clutch. I know analytics says now there's no such thing as clutch, and I know you don't buy that, I hope, right?
No, there's definitely a clutch gene. You can be clutch. There's a few guys that we know are clutch, for sure. There's guys that aren't clutch.
Where you slow it down. Where you slow the game down. Very difficult. I mean, nobody did it better than Jeter. But this Roy White, I know Richard mentioned left field, but if I'm not mistaken, maybe you could ask him. I think he played all of the fields. Left field was really his position. But he could run. He could hit. He could throw. He had a little pop. I think he was a switch hitter, Keith. Mm-hmm. I think he was a switch hitter.
And he was.
Nobody ever talks about him. You have. And then you're telling me you met him, and he was – sounds like he was everything I tell you that he
– He's a humble guy. He's not walking into the room looking for attention. And when, you know, I was introduced to him, took a picture with him, I was just like, whoa. You know, it's like when you learn history about the Yankees, there's only so much that we can get from YouTube and Google and, you know, looking up the teams and stuff. But, like, when you watch those old grainy videos and then you meet, you know, I've been blessed. I've been able to meet guys like Mickey Rivers, Chris Chambliss, and Roy White and Gator.
Well,
and
Keith, I think Richard knows the dates and the times better than me, but I told you in the last time I called, we drove down in 1976 for the reopening of Yankee Stadium. That was Willie Randolph's first game. And I think that Roy White was on that team in 1976. And you'd be doing me a huge, you don't have to mention my name to him, but you'd be doing me a huge favor if you would make some mention of the fact that I went to, he was there when we used to go a lot.
Yeah, I think he's listening right now. I hope he is. I think he's listening right now.
We used to jump in the car in Rochester and drive to Yankee Stadium, Keith. That's what we did. It was 7 hours, you know, back then, but that's what we did. And he was one of the guys. Well, I lost a buddy of mine. I'll even mention his name, Dave DeMassimo. I just loved the guy, and I lost him to cancer. And Roy White was his favorite player. And, you know, we liked Mickey, and we had Reggie, and we had right down the line. But Roy White, and I'll go, Keith, was a baseball player. And I wish that the Yankees would acknowledge him in some fashion.
We're going to acknowledge him tonight. We're going to have him on tonight. He's got a book coming out, and I want everybody to listen to what he's got to say. It's coming up, and, you know, the Yankees don't have to do it. We'll do it right now, you know?
What's the book?
So he wrote a book from Compton to the Bronx. I think that's the title. Let me go back into my notes. I don't know if that's exactly the title. I don't want to get it wrong here.
No, that's okay.
Yeah, so Roy White from Compton to the Bronx. And that book is coming out. I'm going to ask him all about it. Like you said, right? I don't care if the Yankees didn't highlight him. They don't have to have Roy White Day. I've been connected with him through Andrew Levy and Wish You Were Here Productions. And we had the American Dream Yankees Pinstripe Pride event where all of these Yankees were. And I got to meet him then. And I'm honored to have him on tonight. Like I said, I've got a ton to talk about to get through tonight. But I have an opportunity to bring Roy White on to WFAN. I know there's a ton of listeners that'll appreciate that.
Yeah, Keith, and I do not tell you what to say, but I hope sometime in the conversation that it comes up that people went to see him because he was a baseball player, Keith. Period.
Good. Dom, you're the man. Appreciate the call. All right. Well, we got a break here. You know, you might have seen Roy White on Old Timers Day. If you did go to the American Dream event, he was there. But like I said, when I met him, I mean, he was quiet as kept. And you know what? I appreciate everybody that kind of just, you know, knows who they are. They just walk in. They're not looking for the pomp and circumstance. They're just happy to, you know, be in the environment of Yankees fans and Yankees legends. I had such a good time at American Dream meeting Yankees fans and, you know, players that I admire. So a quick introduction to Roy. And now he's got this book coming out. We're going to break right here. We're going to dial him up, and then we'll ask him some questions, talk to him real quick, and then that'll segue us right in to Yankee baseball. So tell a friend to tell a friend. Maybe a friend might be a couple years older than you, or you know, a friend or relative that watched the Yankees in the 60s, 70s, and that remembers those back-to-back World Series in 77 and 78, Roy White on the Fan, Keith McPherson hosting on the Fan. We're going to take a break. We're going to go grab him, and we'll be right back.